Welcome to BIC Magazine's Industry Roundtable, the program where business and industry connect to share topics and ideas that move the world's energy. BIC Magazine's Industry Roundtable is brought to you by IVS Investment Banking. IVS Investment Banking delivers premium financial transaction services to assist industrial business owners, primarily in the downstream sector. Visit IVSinvestmentbanking.com to learn more.
Hey everybody, it's Jeremy Osterberger with BIC Magazine. I'm joined by Ed Britswa with the American Chemistry Council. Ed is International Trade Director at ACC, and today we're talking U.S. trade policy as it relates to the chemical industry, COVID-19 essential products, and future preparedness, and the differences between President Trump's approach to trade and tariffs versus presidential hopeful Joe Biden's potential approach. So, Ed, thank you so much for being on with us.
Thank you, Jeremy. It's great to be here.
Yeah. So, Ed, last week, the U.S. International Trade Commission held a hearing in connection with an investigation at the request of the House Committee on Ways and Means and the Senate Committee on Finance related to COVID-19 and America's ability to secure products for fighting the spread of the virus, and really about future preparedness. So obviously the domestic chemical industry has a seat at that table and in this investigation. And so what are some of the major takeaways from the hearing for those that weren't able to see it or haven't heard about it?
Well, the U.S. International Trade Commission is undertaking this investigation to produce a report on COVID-19 essential goods, trade, supply chains. And the message we tried to get across at the hearing, and we think we did this effectively, is that you need to provide tariff relief on inputs to manufacturing COVID-19 essential products in the United States. So it makes little sense to ACC to keep tariffs high on the inputs. And we think the International Trade Commission heard that loud and clear.
So and just to talk a little bit about some of this, I mean, some of the discussions related to blockages and barriers. There was some talk about supply chain. You know, can you elaborate a little bit more on some of the key points that were kind of brought up?
Absolutely. In the COVID-19 environment, there's been demand for PPE, for cleaning and disinfecting products at scales that the country probably has not seen before. And that means there's a lot of pressure on the production of these items in the United States or outside the United States. And so with respect to supply chains, I think that the International Trade Commission is really trying to hone in on where the blockages are and where there might be barriers to trade that are affecting those supply chains. And for the chemical sector, you know, we stayed in operation because we were designated an essential industry by the Department of Homeland Security. We have essential workers across the country that were able to continue to work through the lockdown period. And what we want is to be able to do more and to do better. And the key impediment we identified, again, is tariffs, whether they're, you know, the regular tariffs applied every day, the most favored nation tariffs, or these additional tariffs on inputs in the China Section 301 context. So just as an example, let's say you have a 3% tariff that's the most favored nation tariff on a particular input, and then you have a 25% additional tariff on top of that. That's a 28% tariff, right? That's an impediment that is very expensive for companies. Tariffs are taxes, Jeremy, and U.S. companies are paying those tariffs, and it really impedes their ability to be as responsive as possible and to make more in the United States.
Yeah, Ed, thanks. So it's my understanding that the USITC expects to deliver its report to the committee, I think, mid-December. Is that how you understand it?
That's my understanding. They're going to do a really thorough job. They're talking with a range of industries like us. You know, we appeared at the hearing. There was folks from the medical and healthcare world that were at the hearing. And we're all part of the same ecosystem, ultimately. And we supply to the healthcare sector. And we want to make sure that the overall response is as powerful as possible.
Great. Yeah. And keep us updated if there's some subsequent discussions we can have as it relates to that report, and have you back on and talk about sort of the outcomes.
Great. Well.
So, yeah. So Ed, let's transition our discussion over to the presidential race. It's sort of a hot topic right now. Were you aware there's a presidential race going on? I don't know if you're familiar with
that. Really? No, I had no idea, Jeremy.
Here we go. So, look, we know how Trump has approached tariffs. You know, can you explain some of the differences between Trump and Biden as it relates to utilizing tariffs and sort of their approach, and especially as it relates to the chemical industry here in the U.S.?
Mm-hmm. So the Trump administration, in contrast to almost all other administrations after the Hoover administration in the 1930s, decided they were going to use tariffs in a very aggressive and robust way. You could almost say that they have a tariff-led policy, right, where they're going to use tariffs to address unfair trade barriers they've identified, to address other policy priorities like border security. So they've done this in part to enforce, you know, their rights in the trade world, but they've also signaled they want to use tariffs to encourage more manufacturing in the United States or to get companies to reshore, to onshore. There's a belief in the Trump administration that tariffs will encourage greater economic activity in the United States. And we've seen the data, and the data just doesn't bear that out, that because of the tariffs, very likely because of the tariffs, the U.S. manufacturing industry entered a recession in 2019. And we have not seen more onshoring into the United States because of tariffs. As a matter of fact, in our industry, it's very likely you've seen some production move to other countries in order for these companies to remain competitive and to access other markets like in the EU or China. The Biden administration, a possible Biden administration, probably would not use tariffs in the same way. Tony Blinken, who's the foreign policy advisor to the Biden campaign, has said on the record that they would use tariffs, but perhaps in a more strategic and targeted way. And what the biggest difference will be is they likely will not use tariffs to beat up U.S. allies like Europeans or Japanese or, you know, Korea. They would work cooperatively with allies to address big priorities, like addressing unfair trade barriers in China, for example, or, you know, they'd want to reform the WTO in concert with allies. You know, applying tariffs on imports from allies like Canada, for example, doesn't help achieve those objectives. It makes it a lot harder to achieve. So I do think there's going to be more strategy under a possible Biden administration. You know, as the chemical industry, what we want both the Trump administration and a Biden administration to know is, if you use tariffs in a way that is blunt, you're going to cause a lot of unintended consequences to our industry and to the industries that buy products from U.S. chemical manufacturers, and you're going to make us less competitive.
Ed, is there anything else you want to add in relationship to, you know, low-cost shale gas and exports? I just want to make sure we cover that as well, you know, as it relates to sort of a current approach to trade and tariffs.
Well, low-cost shale gas, it's the primary source of the competitiveness of the U.S. chemical sector. So we have access to abundant shale gas in the United States. This is the primary feedstock for manufacturing chemicals in the United States. This is why you see so many investments in the Gulf region, increasingly in Appalachia, and other parts of the country. And it's also the primary source of energy for chemical manufacturing. So we have this great competitive advantage. And what we don't want are policies that undermine that competitive advantage. As a matter of fact, we want government, whether it's a Biden administration or a Trump administration, to have a real hard look at what the competitive advantages are for U.S. industries and to identify and implement policies that leverage those competitive advantages. So we have this historic time in the chemicals industry, and we don't want that to go to waste. We want to be able to access markets around the world to increase our exports of chemicals. You know, we're not just about exporting, we're also about importing, because we need low-cost imports to stay competitive as well. And all of that goes to exporting more products and to being competitive here in the U.S. and to supporting the downstream sectors that use chemicals.
That's right, Ed. I'll tell you what, continues to be a big issue, as it was 4 years ago in the last election, as it relates to swing states and states and areas where shale gas is a heated topic. So, So, Ed, thank you. Let's talk a little bit about Buy American. So, you know, I think for the most part, you know, Americans understand and appreciate the value of the term, right? And of course, as it relates to buying American goods and services. But, you know, what does Buy American currently mean in the context of U.S. chemicals and manufacturing exports?
Well, I think there's a lot of discussion in the United States about how the U.S. government could buy more American-made items. And, you know, that's a discussion that will continue. What we don't want government to lose sight of is that it's important for U.S. companies to export U.S. products to other markets. And in that sense, we want other countries to buy American, right? So a greater emphasis on export promotion for U.S.-made chemicals would be very welcome by our industry. Helping other governments around the world understand, you know, U.S. chemicals can help their development, to help their own economic objectives. We have very competitively costed products that we are able to export to other markets.
Thank you. So, Ed, we're gonna move on for now and have you, I want to have you back on here in the future. I just want to say thank you so much for joining us today and giving us ACC's perspective.
My pleasure, Jeremy. I'd be happy to be back on, and thanks so much for this opportunity.
Absolutely. So if you want to learn more about the American Chemistry Council, visit AmericanChemistry.com. And to our audience, we say thank you so much for joining us today. And visit BICMagazine.com for more videos. Until next time, everybody go vote.
Thank you for listening to BIC Magazine's Industry Roundtable. Log on to BICMagazine.com for industry news and resources. Industry Roundtable is brought to you by IVS Investment Banking. IVS Investment Banking delivers premium financial transaction services to assist industrial business owners, primarily in the downstream sector. Visit IVSinvestmentbanking.com to learn more.